It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal, and I do believe in the center studio. Cynthia, is that you?
Hello, it's me.
And who's with you?
Who's, say your name.
Hi, I'm Quincy Cavett. I'm interning at the journal.
Oh, okay. Quincy, is this our Quincy?
Yes, this time he came in.
That's right. Yay, Quincy. Thank you.
All right, Quincy. And we have the master detective, the boss, Janet Manko, joining us. Good morning.
Good morning.
I said detective because Quincy on TV, for people who don't know what I'm talking
about. He was a coroner.
Jack Lemmon.
He was a coroner.
Quincy was a coroner.
Yeah, I'm sure that Quincy Cabot does not get that one.
No.
Yeah, he's sitting here looking very quizzical right now.
As well he should be.
All right, well, let's go right to...
Marshall thought this was the Rockford Files. I'm sorry.
Who knows what
he doesn't
I thought.
Know what that
it
is.
There are reruns of that on now. He might know.
That he can look up.
Quincy's looking like we're speaking a foreign language.
We are. Okay.
That's right. We're trying to interest him into pursuing actual information.
All right. Well, it's going to go right to the actual information of the Lakeville Journal. And I want to start off right with the story by you, Cynthia, the Bob Esterbrook Award.
Which Quincy Cabot won last year. Congratulations to Quincy from last year. But this year we gave it to Cordelia Schiller, who is not technically an intern at this moment. She had been an intern many, many years ago. In fact, I just dug up an old photo of her that I was tempted to put in the paper, but was talked out of it when she was with us in 2015, which is not that long ago. But the difference in who she was then and who she is now is just phenomenal. She's really a young lady now and has been doing great work for us. Unfortunately, we've sort of lost her too. She just got an apartment of her own in Poughkeepsie and is working at Irving Farm Coffee Shop. So we're hoping that she'll come back. But she did a great job for us, learned a lot, really went from being a little bit of a lost soul to doing some wonderful stories for us. And so we gave her the award for having grown so much under our watchful eye. And, of course, she did it all herself.
All right. And, yeah, back to school.
Very weird driving here this morning and seeing all the children walking to classes, but it feels really good to me to not have a kid who's in school right now.
That's all I can say.
It makes summer feel like it lasts longer. People keep saying, well, summer's over so fast, and I'm like, not for me. It's still going.
Well, that's true. That's true. All right. So it's back to school, and it's in dribs and drabs. Region 1 goes back earlier than most, I think.
Right, yeah. Region 7 is going back tomorrow, I guess.
Yeah, so it's kind of shifted, and then everybody gets Monday off anyway.
And New York State is humane in waiting until after Labor Day to send the kids back to school.
I remember, it feels to me like there were years when they would start on Friday, spend a half day getting everybody settled in, and then have the three-day weekend, which always struck me as being disruptive.
Yeah.
Disruptive it is. It is. But anyway, that's the way it is.
Okay.
So back to school now. Quincy Cabot, what's talk about your story? A detailed snapshot of motorized transport in the brass era.
Yeah. So Bernard Drew, who is an associate editor at the Lakeville Journal, is sort of a local historian, and he specializes in early 20th century life. And he found three ledger books. These were detailing the kind of cars of the early 20th century. In between the lines is the sort of the growth of the car industry into what we see today. And it was sort of a domesday book for the car historians. And he describes the transitions between, the end of the steam and electric cars and sort of how gasoline cars became the mainstay, and all of that's in his book, Well Wheeled.
It's interesting, as much as I follow cars and everything, what's interesting about this is that the relationship to our area and a French subsidiary that made luxury cars, and not only made them, but made them for 30-some years, I had never had any idea about that at all.
Yeah, it's a very interesting book. And as Quincy said, it's like the Domesday book. It's full of a lot of data. But also Bernie wrote, as Quincy said, little chapters describing what life was like here in the early 20th century. Interesting book.
Nature's Notebook, Hopes, Dreams, Glory, Baseball, and Pole Beans.
It seems so obvious when he describes it, but Tim Abbott is talking about the connection between our growing season and the baseball season. And it's very lyrical and poetic the way he describes it, as Tim always is.
Moving inside, and a story out of Cornwall, with a Cornwall man arrested, strangulation. They had to bring. Well, I guess when you're arrested, if you got guns, they have to collect them, and yeah. It took a couple of troopers to actually handle the guns.
It's funny, we think of Cornwall as being this very artistic, very gentle community, but this is the second story I can remember in the last 10 years when there was a big gun cache that was found in Cornwall. So a man named William Dineen, not my appliance guy, Bill Dineen.
No.
But, and so we don't have the warrant, we only had the police release. I think the warrant is probably much more detailed, but an arrest of a charge of a couple who went into a domestic situation, and the man was accused of trying to strangle his housemate.
Yeah, but that's the second story in 2 weeks about someone who was arrested from this area, and they found out that they had lots and lots and lots of guns at home.
What was the other one?
The motor vehicle, the guy from North Canaan.
Right.
Yeah, it's a problem that even affects us out here. All right. Let us go to Norfolk, the Norfolk Library sale.
I have so much buyer's regret for not having bought books, because there are a bunch of books I wanted, and I even emailed Anne Fries, who's the wife of our photographer, the Pastor Savage Fries, and I said, oh, Anne, I wish I'd bought those books. And she said, sorry, they're out on the curb, and somebody picked them up, and they've been taken away. Really a wonderful book sale. It's that time of year. Lots and lots of libraries are selling off some of their old inventory and also donations from people. But the Norfolk Library, a particularly special one, described by Deb Alexinas.
Pete Vermilier and the Civil War, September 3rd in Falls Village, the meeting house.
When I first moved here, I used to think that the Revolutionary War would be the big thing, that everybody around here would talk about the Revolutionary War, and very rarely do they. People really like to talk about the Civil War here, which is not a war that you think of as having taken place in the North. And I have to say, even though I saw Gone with the Wind, I've never found the Civil War that interesting, except when Peter Vermilier talks about it. There's something magical about the way he brings it to life. It's like watching a really good movie to hear him describe it. So he will be talking about the Civil War coming at the last Tuesday of, or the first Tuesday of the month talk coming up this Tuesday at the South Canaan Meeting House.
Yeah. I want to move on to an event. I just did an interview this morning on this, and that is the Equus Effect, having their next big event on September 7th.
The Equus Effect is a sort of a newish organization started by Jane Strong, who lives here in Sharon, and its goal is to help use horses to help military veterans overcome PTSD from their war experiences, their service experiences. And she's done some really interesting fundraisers that tend to attract a lot of people. So their next event is coming up on September 7th, and CB Wismar gives a little preview of it.
All right. You've got a couple of stories. Monkeys but no spiders. Children learn about bread. And then for children, the allure of small exotic animals.
Patrick Sullivan is so funny that you can just send him to anything. Like, literally, you can send him to a library event where children are learning how to make monkey bread, and he'll just write something very funny and insightful about it, as he did. So he's got Rita Delgado teaching children how to make monkey bread, which, if you don't know, is when you take balls of dough and you stuff them together into a baking pan, and then they bake together but hold the shape of those individual balls so you can pull them apart. And then small exotic animals, snakes and pythons and all sorts of things that I don't know that I'd want to touch, but the kids loved it. They just loved it.
So it's amazing that there's no fear factor when you're that young.
Yeah, which is great. I guess that's why they do it.
A couple of stories from two different towns on small town life. First of all, the tour of old buildings in West Cornwall, and then a story on the Salisbury Farmers Market.
Right, so this is the Bruce Howden special issue. So we have Bruce here in the Lakeville Journal, who's been selling his corn at the Salisbury Farmers Market, which used to be at Le Bon's all the time. I don't know if it still is. But he's out there with this cute old truck, which Ann Day describes really beautifully in Compass this week. But the Salisbury Farmers Market's a fairly new farmers market. It's still smallish, but it seems to be really popular. And when you drive by there on a Saturday, it's always well attended. And one of the reasons is Bruce Howden has this incredible corn. So also we had the tour of old buildings in West Cornwall. West Cornwall, of course, is the super adorable village within Cornwall that's near the historic covered bridge. And I went into a couple of buildings I'd never been into before, even though I'm in West Cornwall a lot. And one building that I had been in a lot was the building formerly known as the Pink House, which in all the times I've ever been in it was filled every inch with old books and dishware and furniture and pianos and weird dolls and all sorts of stuff, like literally dripping with the moisture that was in that building. The walls are peeling. It's like Miss Havisham's house, but the whole house has been cleaned out. It's been sold, which is very exciting, to the West Cornwall Development Corporation, which is two guys, John Van Doren and Jeff Morgan. And from what I've heard is they have plans to put a restaurant in the carriage house in the back, and then we'll see what happens in the front. But that front building has had many iterations and identities, including as an apartment residence. So we'll see. They wanted to wait to talk to the paper until they've got their site plan sketched up and they start to get approvals from the town government.
All right. Of course, I love the hiking pictures. I'm not a hiker, but I always love to see pictures of hikers, especially when they've reached where they're going.
We almost never get pictures from people who have made it all the way to Mount Katahdin, and of course we assume that most of the hikers who have made it all the way up here to Salisbury from Georgia will end up going all the way to Maine. But Ann Day, who has this very magnetic personality, was out at Sweet William the other day, a month or so ago, and she took a photo of a father and three sons who were hiking together, which we've had some very weird groupings of hikers, so I'd say a father and three sons, you know, like in their 20s, is not the most unusual grouping we've ever seen. For instance, there was the year that the guy was hiking with his pet iguana. But she made enough of an impression on them that when they reached Mount Katahdin, they had somebody take a photo of them by the sign saying that they had reached the summit and the end of the Appalachian Trail. So we're happy to see it. And if anybody's passing through here as a hiker and wants to send us their picture when they get to the top, let us just go ahead and email it to us.
All right. And hey, on the sports page, from a review of golf clubs or actually just a publishing of golf clubs to race cars.
So John Torriciello had done these two profiles of these two private golf clubs around here, which I thought was kind of good because you don't really ever get to go in there. And if you're a golfer, you know, you always hear about how beautiful Bulls Bridge is, for example. But one of our readers, Ed Furman, had emailed and said, I don't care about the private golf clubs. I can't get in there. Let's talk about the public clubs. Yeah. So John went around. John's a big golfer, and that's his specialty, is writing about golf. And he went to all the area public clubs around here that he could find. And he describes them in what I think is, as a non-golfer, very appealing terms. So if the September is still, in my opinion, summer, and you can still play at these public courses. The weather is still going to be beautiful for a month, maybe even better than during our very hot July. So if you like to golf and you want to try a new course, John describes them beautifully here. And then we've got a little preview of Vintage coming up. There is, of course, as Marshall said, the parade is happening today. But there's a lot of activities going on. I would say this is the most popular locally of all of the different Lime Rock activities. Skip Barber called yesterday to say that Governor Ned Lamont will be there Saturday at 1:30 on the straightaway. I assume he's going to be dropping the checkered flag, as Dan Malloy had done many, many years ago when he was up here. And there's going to be Formula Fords, the anniversary of the Formula Fords, which, of course, Skip Barber was the champion of the very first Formula Ford race and also of the second one. And a lot of Italian cars, the BZ and Michael Schwartz, their collection of Italian cars is going to be on display this year, and also a celebration of the Morgan, which used to be a three-wheel car. And I think that there's still reproductions now that are being made with the three wheels, but a very special mark.
It's a great weekend. And it has become right up there with the IMSA weekend, the big national race,
right.
As popularity, not only here, but for where people come in. The great thing about this festival is that people are here for almost a week to 10 days.
Right.
And it's just great for the economy, but it's also spectacular.
Right, and a big fundraiser for the Michael J. Fox Parkinson Foundation, which is a big deal. And, of course, that's done not only in honor of Michael Fox, who has family connections here, but also for Sam Posey, who suffered from Parkinson's for many years.
And the car parade, all those people, it's about $2,500 to $3,000. That goes to a local charity, too.
Yep.
So, all right, let's go to the editorial and viewpoint pages. Where can our young people live?
Right, we have a theme going on our opinion pages this week, and that is affordable housing. And, that phrase conjures up different things for different people. So please think about it this weekend as everyone is relaxing and taking time during Labor Day to take a break from their jobs. Think about people in this area who have to work two and three jobs to try to afford to live here. And so we have a good letter to the editor from Mary Wilbur, who works at the Lakeville Journal on the topic. Our editorial is on the topic. We have a column from Mac Gordon, the architect and landscape designer from Lakeville, who said, boy, you really have to run the photo of this housing, or I don't think people will understand what it is. And I think he's right. So take a look at that photo and read what he says about it. We can be creative about multifamily housing. And we have three of the columns from Mary Close Oppenheimer on affordable housing that she's been doing a series for years now and continuing to talk to people about it. And, boy, it started a discussion on Northwest Corner Chatter last night that went on, and it's just a critical issue for our area. You know, there are many different things we can do to make our area more vital, but without affordable housing for middle class and young people, not going to work.
Yeah. And I'll just mention Peter Steiner's cartoon. You get letters.
And, you know, it goes actually with Tom Shackman's column this week.
Absolutely.
And it's just coincidence that Peter Steiner is talking about what happened in 1938 in Germany, and Tom Shackman is too, talking about the phony war and what came before World War II. So read the, it's fascinating, and, it tells us something about our time.
And Cynthia.
Yes.
Bread. Let there be bread.
Yeah, you know, I feel so bad. I feel like I'm always being bullied by all my friends who are very pure eaters and don't eat anything white. Excuse me. Sorry, choking on my coffee, so I'm speaking.
But, you know, that bread looks a little yellowish, too. It looks fantastic.
And I have to say that bread is from, excuse me, Costco. Actually, Janet, do you mind talking about that?
Yeah, absolutely. The bread is from Costco, which also can give some people chills, but which gives Cynthia and I and many other people thrills because they have lots of great bread and lots of great items, and one of them is their French bread, which we have a photo of here. And Cynthia is justifying eating that wonderful bread with some of the fantastic homegrown sliced tomatoes that are around right now. And if you can't picture slicing a tomato and putting it on that bread, then I don't know what.
You do all the wrong things. You slice the bread, you slice the tomato, and then you must put salt on the tomato. I'm
yes.
sorry.
There you go.
And
okay.
That, you must put salt on the tomato.
To draw out the juice.
And mayonnaise is optional for you folks out there, but it's, you can use mayonnaise. Nothing like a tomato sandwich in season.
Yeah, that to me says summer. And, of course, now August. People keep saying summer's over, but I differ because the tomatoes are just coming out.
Right, and the corn is still, you know, it's late corn and still a lot of that, so take full advantage.
And for anybody who remembers that great movie with Matthew Broderick from the 70s or the 80s about the computer games, where he hacks into
war games.
And the movie starts out when the family's sitting around the table and they take a slice of white bread and they butter it and then they run the corn through it. Another reason to eat white bread.
All right. So, now we have, we'll mention real estate in a second, but you've got the compass.
Right. So, Ande writes about the portraits that are on the lawn outside the Hotchkiss School. They were taken by Joe Standart in 2004, and they're photos of different immigrants who had moved to New London, Connecticut, which is not what you would think is be a giant destination for immigrants, but a very diverse population there. These photos are out on the lawn right now in time for the Class of 69's 50th reunion. And making a statement about who we are as Americans. So an interesting show, obviously open to everybody on the property. Alicia Trimble writing about a show of work by the very famous Alex Katz that's at the Craven Gallery in Kent that used to be in Lakeville. And as she says at the beginning of the review, what more is there to say? It's Alex Katz, really a very fine, interesting painter who always reminds me of summer because so many of his pictures are of the Hamptons. Lynn Kircher writing very interestingly about a private art colony, the Malay Colony. that was started on the property of Edna St. Vincent Millay in nearby Austerlitz, New York. And, of course, Lynn worked for many years for Jasper Johns, whose property has been set aside for as a legacy in the distant future, we hope, when Jasper passes away, to become an arts colony. And so I guess she must be traveling around and researching these other colonies. And it's an interesting, you know, especially around here, you know, a lot of people who are artists. Many of them have had the opportunity to go to these colonies where you apply, you're accepted, and then while you're there, everything is made possible for you to just concentrate on your work. You have a little cabin. They give you all your meals. There's a lot of interesting conversation among the artists. So she describes the Millay colony in this article. And then here we are with Bruce Howden again. Everybody, of course, has their own favorite corn around here. Anne really loves the Bruce Howden corn, as many people do. And she does a nice, funny article where she says, I figured he was a bunch of hipsters at Howden Farm. And then if you know Bruce Howden, you know that's the exact opposite. Lovely guy. And you can meet him if you want out at the Scoville Library.
You know, you talk to the local corn farmers, and they all have their own way of doing it.
Yeah, they all have special seeds that they won't tell you what the seed is.
They all have special ways of doing it. It's pretty interesting.
You know, they're all good.
Yeah, that's right. And I like the recipe. There's a recipe for corn puree also in this story.
With figs. There have been some beautiful figs at Stop and Shop, very inexpensive lately. Then Cynthia Kling, our horticulture expert, talks with Francis Palmer, who's an expert on dahlias, which more and more, the longer I live up here in the northwest corner, the more I sort of fall in love with dahlias, which are, I say they're, in my opinion, they're fairly tricky to grow. I haven't had great luck with them, but they're so beautiful, and they come from little tiny puffy buds to giant big puffy buds. And so everything you've always wanted to know about dahlias from the expert, Francis Palmer. At the White Gallery, a show of summer-inspired artwork, including, of course, a picture of the Red Rooster, which many people associate with sort of a nostalgic summer trip, lots of photos and art at the White Gallery. Anne Day, reviewing After the Wedding, which had been a Danish film, and she's not super enthusiastic about the remake, but she will give you a good sense of what the movie's about in her review so you can make your own decision. A movie that seems to have a lot of fans, not necessarily Anne, but find out why she doesn't like it. And, of course, The Calendar and C.B. Wismar talking about Top Dog Underdog playing up at the at Shakespeare and Company.
And, of course, you have the Tricorder Real Estate section in this week.
Right, which has what we all know about, I'm sure, but is big news right on the front cover there, and that's that Best and Cavallaro have merged with William Pitt Sotheby's International Realty. They're right across the street from each other in Salisbury, and a wonderful photo there of the team, who will be the Best and Cavallaro team and part of Sotheby's. So do stop in and congratulate them and, you know, buy something.
And congratulate Marty on her retirement.
Yes, yeah. And, you know, this seems like a great transition to make. She was at this a long time, and this is a great way to have a legacy continue, and everyone there works so hard. All our realtors do, so do look through this piece and see all the properties that are available. Are some affordable? I think so. But many, you know, way up in the price range. Fascinating to see what's going on in the area for real estate.
All right, all that and much more this week's Lakeville Journal. Of course, you can get it at newsstands, home delivery, and also online, tricornernews.com. And they're also members of Facebook and Instagram.
And if you might notice in our compass, we have the schedule for the Goshen Fair, and on Sunday is going to be the Lumberjack, the Timber Contest, and I believe Murray Cullerton, another former Lakeville Journal intern, is competing with the UConn team.
Go, Murray.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll see you guys next week.
Thanks so much.
Thank Take you. Care. That is this week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robin Hood Radio. Of course, tricornernews.com on the web.